That's right.
So Sherrod's is still out there, and Wawa is still sniffing around. But that's not a shopping plaza.
Yeah. But that's an example.
Okay.
In manufacturing, industrial purposes. Good point. So other changes at the state level, again, this issue of marijuana, I think it's anticipated the state will be addressing it possibly in November, I think.
Yeah, it's on state ballot.
Who knows? It was supposed to have been dealt with 2 or 3 years ago, but...
I think that is going to be on the ballot.
It's looming, so some towns are addressing it by either prohibiting it outright. Some are saying certain aspects of it are okay here and not there, and we like this, we don't like that. So just something to think about is this.
Do you guys want to take a position on that or wait and see what happens?
Mm. My gut was we didn't have the votes on council to go forward with that.
So you're just commenting on it.
If a marijuana came my way, I always pass. We'll do the same thing here.
It's same with me, actually.
So, we'll, yeah, as that issue emerges, and then correct me if I'm wrong, John, I think once that legislation is or is not, if it is enacted, that municipalities will have 6 months to respond?
Well,
we don't know.
We don't know.
But, so if there is a position, it'd be best to take it sooner than later. The next one has to do with performance guarantees. And this basically limited the requirements that a municipality could make on a developer, and limited guarantees to really improvements that are being dedicated to a public entity or privately owned perimeter buffers and landscape. There are also this new issue of temporary certificate of occupancy guarantees and safety and stabilization guarantees. There's another... the legislature in 2018 adopted a bill requiring any new land use element to incorporate a statement of strategy addressing smart growth, storm resiliency, and environmental sustainability.
So here's my question. This is now going to be an amendment to the land use element.
Correct. So we should take a position, which we haven't, because it was more of an FYI. Now we should take a position.
Right. So now you need a... Right. Well, so let's find out what the position is.
The electric thing's happening, so we should plan for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, we're not even at electrical.
A, that is a component of it, the electrical people.
Yeah. Right.
So the statement, it could be a general statement that it's promoted,
But do we keep it by saying it's permitted use in certain zones, or does that go too far?
It's something you actually have to do anyway.
Right. So here's the issue. You got this bill to encourage municipalities to plan for electric vehicle infrastructure.
Right.
The new law requires circulation plan owners to identify existing and proposed locations of public electric vehicle charging installations. In the township, you have... Motor vehicle related uses are prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
So every gas station, every automobile dealership, every repair place, they're all lawfully created pre-existing non-conforming uses, or they're allowed by use variance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have this bill that comes along and says, designate where you want to have these electric charging stations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the easy thing would be to say anywhere you have a gas station, you should have an electronic charging station there. But but everywhere you have a gas station, it's not permitted. But you could say that all the gas stations, even though they're not allowed under the ordinance, if they pre-exist or if they exist by use variance, and that's the only way they do exist in the township, should also have electric charging stations. That's one way.
I would say permit them also in the commercial and RLM zones, because that's where you find dwell time.
Mm. Now, which board did Harley come into?
Board of Adjustment.
Okay, so Harley came into the Board of Adjustment. They wanted to add a charging station at the Harley dealership. The Board of Adjustment granted it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had an ordinance that said that charging stations were also allowed at automobile dealerships.
Mm-hmm. Which is all non-residential.
Yeah. So can you guys talk about this so you can give Tom input so he can...
Yeah.
How about something like the use that doesn't have garages, they don't have outdoor parking, or new affordable housing zones?
See,
I don't think we should restrict it.
I just came
to a certain extent. We should make it easy for them.
I just came back from this. I went on this bicycling trip with two of my sons. So we rode from California to Phoenix, Arizona. Everywhere in Arizona, they didn't have the charging stations in residential buildings. They had the charging stations not only in gas stations, but they had them at most of the shopping centers.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, because you go
that's
in the shop.
That's where you go, and that gives you time to go restaurant. Use it up.
Yeah.
So
offices, restaurants.
Permitted as an accessory use in those zones.
Maybe as an accessory use. I mean,
and you could kind of bounce on Bill's point. You could say off-street parking in residential zones. You know, like the Mews. That's off-street. I may have the terminology wrong, but
that's
where there's no garage capability where you can pull a car in, I'm not sure I want one sitting on my neighbor's lawn.
Well, that's the street
that's
parking.
But in
a multifamily.
The 400 unit development up over 100.
As permitted or?
At the bottom, if you're a poor lousy resident, where you can pull your car in.
Right.
They're saying as
permitted or required?
Permitted accessory use.
Permitted accessory use. Mm-hmm. In multifamily zones and commercial?
I think that where there's, does it make sense where there's off-street parking?
Does that mean I can't have one in my garage?
No.
Garage,
mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It wouldn't be a zoning issue.
There wouldn't be a zoning issue if it's in your garage.
Right.
But, for instance, I'll say Westgate, where everyone has a garage, they're kind of closer to normal residential. We wouldn't want them permitted there because they've got the garage first to build.
Right.
But in the new Walton Place, let's say, or in the Mews. The Mews is a good example. They don't have a garage.
Right.
The owner would have to designate certain areas to install.
Like a handicapped parking spot or something.
Mm-hmm. No, they would be the same as me. They just wouldn't have a garage. They would have an extension cord coming out, which I've seen in Newark. So people that don't have garages in Newark that have electric cars, believe it or not,
mm-hmm.
there's an extension cord coming out their door.
Really?
Is that what we want them to do?
No.
Well, I mean, how can you restrict that?
Well, you can't. Really.
I don't think you can.
But we're not talking about
I can't plug my light in.
We're not talking about restrictions. We're talking about where would you want to permit them as accessory uses.
Right.
But I'm saying if we had put it at Alton Place, someone's going to be like, I'm not using that. I'm just going to run the extension cord out of my house.
So they can do that. But if you want a fast charger,
right.
you need a designated spot and a fire
hydrant. I want to make sure they don't have to use that one.
The purpose is supposed to make it more conducive, to allow us to not make them have to go to the Board of Adjustment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, we have more ideas. But yeah, that all makes sense.
Now, what about storm resiliency? This might, I mean, I just don't know. Are there flood-prone areas in the township?
My backyard.
That's good.
No coastal areas.
You got a flood area on Route 22 by Merck.
Actually, right outside of Highbridge on the way to Spruce Run School. That all those houses they sell. That
if it says
now and then, because they get
storm resiliency.
Oh, yeah.
Storm resiliency with respect to energy supply. Well, you got JCP&L, but I don't know what you're going to do about that. Flood prone areas and environmental infrastructure. Storm resiliency with respect to those three. Is there anything that would apply in the county?
We don't have sewer treatment plants or anything that would get inundated.
Right.
So maybe on that
one, supply and coordinate with the utility to some extent.
We're going to have to require more power supplies for cell towers and stuff like that.
They have generators now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one out here's got a natural gas fire generator, so it's really good.
So maybe there's nothing
not applicable
here. And what about environmental sustainability?
That's a pretty broad statement.
We're addressing it through the Highlands conformance.
We're addressing it through the Highlands conformance. Very good.
Good idea.
You just earned your hourly rate.
Let's say we put in something for electric charging stations. Does that mean there has to be regulations around where people can do them, how they can do them, stuff like that?
I'm sure. There's got to be something. Mm-hmm. We don't know yet.
That's up to you.
Yeah.
I mean, the Board of Adjustment. The only thing the Board of Adjustment did in their resolution, they said, if someone's going to use it, the place has to be open, right? Mm-hmm. They can't use it when the place is closed because they were afraid of misuse and a fire or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
but there must be some standards or something that must be referenced.
Well, I think if you did, if you actually did the ordinance, you look around.
Yeah, we're not the first ones to do it. Yeah.
Well, exactly. I'm assuming there's like some standard of what they do.
Look at California or someplace that's...
You don't go that far.
I'll be right.
One for Pennsylvania.
The law, if you look at paragraph 4, that bill that was signed into law doesn't require an ordinance. It requires a circulation plan to simply to identify existing and proposed location. This is for planning purposes. Mm-hmm. There's no requirement for an ordinance right now.
Okay.
For master planning purposes... I think Tom has heard what you said, but you're also going to have to make a recommendation that the circulation plan element
requires
be amended.
Yes.
It requires that a circulation plan amendment, which is an optional element, identify the existing. So if you have a circulation plan,
you do have one.
Yeah. So because you have it, that circulation plan has to identify. So you know what? This is also going to amend the circulation plan element of the master plan. And you're going to have a paid, you know, you're going to have to add
a separate section.
Yeah, amendment to the circulation plan. Yeah, you do.
There, it was part of a comprehensive planning effort.
Okay, and so, and in that one, all you have to do is the math.
Does anyone know how those things work? Like, do I plug my car in and there's it starts picking up how much I owe you?
We come into this town and we lock up our bikes. This is in Arizona, and we go out to eat. And we walk by and the guy's charging his car. So that's the exact question. So we pepper this poor guy, for 15 minutes, asking him everything. Companies do it a different way. What's the famous company?
Tesla. Well, they're free.
Yeah, well, no.
Not all Teslas.
Not all Teslas. Any Tesla before 2017, you have lifetime free.
Right.
2017 and after, you basically have an app, and you put money in the app, and you go to the thing, and you put your thing in, and it charges you for the electric use for it.
Okay.
It's like EasyPass.
Yeah.
Takes about 20 minutes, I think, for a full charge.
Yeah.
Well, by the time we do any of this work, that number is going to change. But that's good to know.
Yeah.
We should have bought our Teslas earlier.
I wonder if you buy an early one if you get it.
Okay.
The last
item, paragraph 5.
Final policy assumption has to do with New Jersey land bank law, which allows municipalities to designate a land bank entity to obtain vacant, abandoned, and neglected properties for productive reuse. So that's another new tool that municipalities have at their disposal to address neglected and vacant properties.
All right, let's get into the interesting part.
Okay, recommended changes. For the most part, the goals and objectives of prior plans, again, are being maintained. We are now recommending several new goals and objectives relating to economic development generally on Route 31 and Route 22.
It's on the bottom of page 18.
Bottom of page 18.
Going to the top of page 19. So can you guys read those five things to yourself and see if you agree or disagree with them?
Well, we'll do bullets to start with if we're not prioritizing.
Well, why don't we say, again, why don't you leave the numbers in and say in no particular order.
Perfect. Yeah, that's right.
What number?
Item 3, prohibit warehouse and distribution.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Why did we say Route 78? Why not 31 corridor? There's an awful lot of trucks. I go up and down 31, and they go up and down that road. They cheat 287. And
so prohibit warehouse and distribution uses,
on the
particularly in the vicinity of the Route 78
and Route
22 and Route 31 corridors.
Agriculture and historical resources.
You have agricultural
farms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's fair. I mean,
I'll put this: tourism of agricultural resources would be, for example, what's the right down 31? What's
Valley Crest,
mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yep.
You still may get a distillery.
So, any other comments or questions on those five items? Nope. Tom, let's get to the zoning.
Zoning recommendations. So, there is now a proposal to merge C2, the C2 zone and research office and manufacturing zone, particularly along Route 22. There's a map on the following page, page 20, which illustrates this area. And again,
is that map referenced in here? I know it's on the next page.
It says on the accompanying map.
The
second part, page 20.
Yeah. And it's actually map 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Accompanying map 1 on page 20.
And again, the idea is to consolidate this patchwork of zoning and parcels along the Route 22 corridor to have a more cohesive zoning approach to this area of the township in light of planning issues and what's developed there now.
Now, assuming that this is adopted, when the ordinances are done, the properties that are impacted by the zone changes, they're going to have to get notice.
Yeah.
What we're talking about saving the money on is all the properties within 200 feet of those properties would normally have to get notice. Now those don't have to get notice if you do this as a specific recommendation in a reexamination report. There's still a lot of money that's going to be spent, but you're going to save a lot of money.
So that's the actual zoning change.
When the actual ordinance
comes up
for the hearing,
right,
adoption on second reading. The notices are going to have to go out to everyone in the purplish lots, but the notices don't have to go out to the people within 200 feet of that perimeter if it's a specific recommendation in this reexamination report.
We did that once before. The neighborhood I'm in went from 5 acres to 9 acres, and nobody knew about it. It's just kind of happened.
Well, the owners knew about that, but they were starting to know about it.
Well, where we are?
Yeah.
5 to 9?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a 5-acre cluster development. And I forgot the name, the RC zone went from 5 to 9 acres.
The zoning of your property changed and you didn't get a notice about it?
No. Well, maybe.
I had nothing to do with that.
I just blamed it on the RIACO, you know, just he was the chair at the time.
I had nothing to do with that. I didn't find out about that until you just told me, and that's the truth.
Maybe it happened before I bought the property. I'm not sure. But.
All right.
The next one, similar type zoning change to look at the Route 31 corridor. Map on page 22 illustrates this area.
Accompanying map number 2.
Yes, generally north of Hibbler Road to about Regional Road to the north, and again, it's to consolidate this patchwork of zoning and to have, again, a more comprehensive zone that captures this entire area, which would include commercial uses, research office and manufacturing uses, office uses, and again, just have one zone that caters to it all on this highway corridor.
Yeah, it's a more complicated situation in Route 22. There's a whole bunch of little islands of different zones. That'll take some work
to sort that out. And may not be as much of a priority as Route 22.
Right.
Or?
Yeah, I mean, 22 is where people want to build warehousing.
So, page 23, then we get into the issue of just addressing warehousing and distribution uses, which I believe it's the township's position that they want to specifically prohibit such large uses that are now being requested in the area of Route 78, 22, and 31, and to make it clear that this is not something the township desires because of its infrastructure limitations, constraints.
Let me talk about the definition of warehouse. Like, I mean, so if I wanted to move here, I can't now.
What do you mean?
I have a warehouse. It's tiny.
In your house?
No, in my business. I can't move here now. Am I reading that correct?
Okay, hold on.
You're allowed.
Certain zones are allowed warehousing as an accessory use. This is principal permitted.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's specify that.
If you have an office and need a small warehouse attached to it.
Warehouse and distribution uses. Well, no, you keep that what you have about the definition. You just have to, you're going to have to work it out in the definition to make it clear that
it's not a primary use.
Not a principal.
And perhaps above a certain floor area, too. I don't know if that matters.
Hey, you'll have to figure that out. Think about it, because you have between now
regardless.
And the hearing on this thing.
Okay.
And you talk to people on the committee.
Yeah. Right. The next has to do with...
Well, you know, the FAR would cover that. It's 15%.
It's already covered, so...
12%.
Sure. I don't know, I'm just talking about... Why isn't this COMROM and this specific on 22, why isn't that
31.
On 31?
Right.
I don't know why right across from LeCompte wouldn't somebody plop a warehouse in there?
It applies on Molasses Hill.
It's right on.
Yeah, 31.
I think
we did before.
Agreed.
Well, the zones are essentially equivalent, too.
Right, that's what I'm...
The proximity is there.
All you're going to do is say you can't do it on 22, and they're going to look and they're going to say, okay, I'll go down to 31.
So if you're saying, I think if we're saying, what's in this new zone, because they both do this rom-com.
They're sort of similar to me. I don't know.
Yeah, but the rom-com is separate from the prohibition on warehouse and distribution uses.
Okay.
What Kevin is saying is that this paragraph should have Route 31 added to it, just like the...
Well, would we want to make it a broad prohibition like we have for automotive stuff? You know, gas stations and car dealerships are not allowed.
You know what?
We could certainly do that.
Just prohibit them everywhere.
And what happened was...
If someone has a real good site, they come in for a use variance to the Board of Adjustment. But I don't know if you have any really good sites.
There's some large, 40, 50 acre parcels down along 31. Right. 30, I had it mixed up with trying to rationalize, the rom-com thing or com-rom on 22. And 22 was a focus because of the turnarounds. 31, when it was dualized with dividers and signalized, it's less dangerous for turning movements. But still, it's not designed to have a bunch of trucks, going on belt handles and whatnot. So maybe a blanket prohibition in the township would make sense. What do you guys think?
What do you guys think?
As opposed to a permitted accessory use.
Well, make a blanket prohibition. People could always apply for a variance.
Yeah.
Right. You should have a blanket prohibition. There are, in certain zones, warehousing is allowed as accessory use.
Right.
What would be prohibited
would be
principal warehouse and or distribution uses as principal uses.
Yeah.
That's what's prohibited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that would make a lot of sense, I think.
Okay.
And then, as John suggested, separate. I had it all intertwined with the rom-com zone.
Yeah, it's separate.
It's separate. Yeah. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Moving
on. This is a rezoning, and this is
yes.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Separate but related.
Right.
No, separate. Right. Rom-com is rezoning. It's going to be a prohibition.
So, will the zoning along 31 also be the same rom-com, or is it a different zone? Is it similar to the one along 22?
I think you probably 22 is larger lots in general. 31 is smaller. It's a real dog's dinner of little bitty zones. So 22 is pretty easy. 31 is going to take some study. That's why and the turning movements and the action on 22 is what really drove that. In my mind, is a priority, and 31 is lesser.
Well, I guess that's what I'm after, John. We're relatively specific on 22. Here we're saying these zones along 31, or a portion thereof, could be consolidated into a new zone, which allows for mixed use of currently permitted C1 or OB zones.
Right. So that becomes a second priority.
Okay, second priority.
Just to answer, there's not that there's an emergency. but there's a certain urgency.
Understood.
To get this thing adopted
right.
next month.
Got it.
If, right. So if they have to then now go into 31 now,
yes.
there's no way they're making
yeah.
the March
yeah.
date.
Yeah.
And I think it was left general just so the township could review the issue and
right. so
pick and choose.
Right.
So,
yes.
Not be so specific.
Right.
I think as long as you mention that as a possibility in this report, the same lack of super zoning requirement holds.
Correct.
So we have a stake in the ground, so to speak, from an efficiency perspective, but 31 is going to take some study. Tweezers or something.
Paragraph 4.
Next issue, introduction of new uses. The distillery was mentioned. Along with that, we see other towns having interest in wineries, breweries, and similar types. So it makes sense to also include those. Just throwing in self-storage facility as an emerging use, which isn't captured in the
yeah,
ordinance.
So you know, the self-storage uses that you have here are all here on use variances.
Oh, okay. Because that was the okay.
Yeah. So this is up to you. I don't know if unless you want to see a proliferation of self-storage facilities, then I wouldn't put it down here as a new use. Or you'll have Raritan Township here.
Yeah.
They have self-storage uses. They must have eight of them. You guys, do you want self-storage facilities?
Nope.
They want to ratchet it out.
Then the next one would be electrical vehicle charging stations, which was discussed already. If there are any other uses that anyone can think of as being desirable, include them or exclude them as prohibitions.
Mm-hmm.
C2 zone floor area requirement, I think we talked about looking at this particularly so that a larger supermarket, for instance, could be developed somewhere in the township, as there is a lack of one. Right now there's a maximum floor area of only 32,000 square feet in the C2 zone. So this would be a component of this presumably new zone. And to expand that square footage, it could either be by use or for the zone in general. And again, to generally accommodate, I guess, a food store with a larger footprint, but also so that it wouldn't invite big box retail stores, which would not be desirable.
Big, but not so big.
Mid-size, it's not huge.
It's not a super size.
It's not a super size.
No, you're talking 80,000 feet. For,
exactly. So that
but there is a logical inconsistency here. That limitation was, I believe, designed to thwart a particular development on a particular lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such restriction in the small commercial zone. So if you assemble two lots in the small commercial zone, you can build whatever you want. So, which was the case, would have been the case over by the old ShopRite when there was a larger development being considered.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just point that out as something we might want to think about, because it only applies to the large lot commercial zone. It does not apply.
Okay, what do you suggest?
If we really hate big boxes, slap a limitation in both zones.
Right.
With an exception for a market or you know, something
the smaller.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So right now.
You have item 6 and you have item 7.
Yep.
Each one says accompanying map. Well, item 6 has accompanying map, which I assume is map 3 on page 25. Item 7 doesn't seem to have an accompanying map.
So really, item 6 goes back to the Route 22 map, which I'll re-reference.
Okay, so item 6, it's not an accompanying map, so it's map what?
It would be map 1, I believe.
It's map 1, I believe.
Okay.
So there are certain parcels just north of Route 78 which really have limited development potential and no access to sewer.
Could you put a different color on those lines?
Could you put a different color on
them? Yeah, that's all good. Yeah.
It took me probably 10 minutes to figure it out.
Yeah.
So we'll provide a clear map for that. And
or
reference.
You know what? Or is reproduce this map.
Yeah.
But don't have this stuff highlighted.
Yeah.
Have the other stuff highlighted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll make it clear. I understand.
Yeah.
It's
high onus. It really is kind of stuck in between.
And it, you know, I've actually gotten calls to do residential out there. You know, there were people interested until they saw the islands limitations. So
Okay, go to number seven.
Number seven.
And number seven, that's map number three on page 25. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you got to add a reference to that.
And it has to do with that parcel that's circled on page 25.
Right, we're too early to cover the
history
of
that. Right. And so it is included for that reason.
So we are rolling along. The public hearing, unfortunately, Tom's going to do the same thing he's doing tonight, but I assume that you guys aren't going to have any questions.
Right.
Just see if they have any questions. Because we've got to make a record on this. But I wanted him to go sentence just so everyone sees exactly what this thing is. I didn't want you to see it for the first time at a public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. So page 26 has to do with the vacating of a portion of Hoffman Road, which is currently undeveloped and exists as a paper street on a map. It's that area highlighted in yellow in the aerial image and in yellow on the following tax map. And again, we will reference these more specifically.
Maps 4 and 5.
That's where I bought this.
Maps 4 and 5.
They're on because the ones we just come school from. Wanted to sell.
That was it. That's when it came up. Okay.
And it looks like it's part of the parking lot. Right. And the septic's on the other side of that paper sheet.
So when a street is vacated, generally the owners on both sides of it get the land.
Unless it's created by easement.
Okay. So what's on
the school.
Eastern side, that's the school?
Yeah.
So they would,
yeah.
Okay, I get it. Okay.
So is the septic for the music school on the school property?
The septic for the music school is on a lot across the paper street. So they would get both sides.
Gotcha.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay, now I get it. Okay.
But it says they have the opportunity to purchase it. That's not really true, right?
Well, Jeremy.
Upon vacating the roadway, adjacent property owners will have the opportunity to purchase it. What happens to it? I thought it just got merged into those lots.
Well, we vacated that one street for the Honda dealership, and they paid, I don't know, $1,500 to get an appraisal.
Yeah, but see, what we did with them was you got the benefit, so you pay the legal fees. We said we're not going to pay anything. We right. allow it to happen,
if you want it.
But it's to your benefit.
Right.
My thing here is I don't want to go spend my taxpayer dollars to give people something. So either they chip in or whoever gets the benefit.
That's why Tom wrote, they'll have the opportunity to purchase the land. So you, in lieu of purchasing it, you can make the purchase price.
The cost. Otherwise, we don't do it. And then whoever wants it done is going to come up with the...
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you'll have to decide how to handle the Board of Education.
So right now, I'm looking for map 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's BR.
Well, you mean map 4.
Map 2 is along Route 31.
Oh, you're back to map 2.
This is currently the boundary of this.
Generally, it's the VR. So
it's a little sliver of VR down there.
Yeah.
It's
VR is becoming something new because that's all maybe something new.
The VR is staying the same. The VR is not changing.
That's a village residential, really small lot.
But I think his point is, isn't that in the whole discussion about doing something with all those little dogs breakfast?
Yeah, fair enough.
Think it was a separate condition, it just falls into this other zone, and we just didn't have it here. Okay.
Item 9.
This does talk about purchasing the, I guess, remaining portion of the LaCompte site. I don't know if you want to be that specific in terms of mentioning that. Is it not necessarily that?
Well, they know we're interested. Okay. You know, we think that's... CIS has had conversations. Mm-hmm. I've had a conversation with his granddaughter.
Considering purchasing his ones.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Essentially, again, on 29, in one place we say it's approximately 8 acres, other we say it's a 10 acre portion.
Yeah, because that's got to be consistent.
It was reduced. It was originally 10.
It was reduced to 8.
She reduced it to 8.5 in the last iteration.
Mm-hmm.
But the Highlands cluster regulations, we can only use 20% or 8 acres. So the feeling is you could squeeze another half an acre out of 8.5, which is where.
So we want it to be 8 acres.
Yeah. Then it's an administrative action, it's a map adjustment as opposed to anything by
8 acres.
And below the first paragraph on page 27, second paragraph, mm-hmm. talks about the creation of a new municipal. or public zone, really, to highlight on a zoning map where there are these large expanses of public parcels different from
it.
Yeah. Affordable housing, a popular topic in the township. Again, the township has a plan to meet its obligation. The Willows at Annandale, where is that? What's the status of that?
They're
leasing offices open.
They are? Okay, I haven't been by.
So they took the preliminary stuff, now they're doing from the leasing office, the detailed W-2s and all that.
So there's street lights are up, they're on tonight, there's lights on the units. The lights have got the porches on, everyone by tonight. So
the developments that began in 2018.
The lights are on, the first time lights on.
Was completed in 2019, and is currently,
Okay. So that site's been developed, currently leasing. Former municipal building, we expect to have them this year.
Ryan had a conversation with it's the sewage authority again. Kathy wasn't pushing because she was waiting for the sewage authority attorney to approve the new, easement on the north side. So it's moving again.
Okay.
So his attorney.
So further down. So, is it fair to say that we expect final site plans in 24?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're supposed to get a CO in 2020. We just amended their redevelopment agreement. 1231.
The Marukian site, sort of, I guess we're waiting for final site plans to figure out how to
It's a separate issue. Now that the appeal's been decided, you're going to put together a draft of a status report.
Yeah.
Michael Bowen, our special master, is retiring in April. Okay, so we're going to have to also start to think about a replacement master. I reached out to Beth McManus. She can't do it.
She's up her eyeballs?
Check to her eyeballs. So we have to think about some names of a new master, but we've got to get a status report to Michael Bowen so he can file a status report with the court before he retires. And we got to do it sooner than later, and I'm going to have to talk with Fair Share about the Marukian site.
You're going to get an intro with Kevin and then go to Adam?
Well, Kevin Walsh is no longer with Fair Share.
I know, but he's
the state controller now. Okay. Okay? So Adam is now the top dog at Fair Share.
Okay.
I think we did submit a draft status report. Well, let's catch up.
Yeah. You may have submitted it to me, but I did not do anything with it because I wanted to wait until after the appeal was decided.
All right. So we'll...
Yeah, just send it to me again.
LaCombe site is a 100% affordable site. Has durational adjustment, meaning it does not have the necessary water, and it has the water, it doesn't have the necessary sewer.
No, we bought the sewer.
We have the sewer, we don't have the water.
Right.
So
if that means
it
here?
It should.
Yeah. Lack of water capacity, yes it does.
Yeah. Okay. So that site remains a durational adjustment site. No progress made there. On 108 Alton Place, same situation, doesn't have the water or sewer, they're trying to figure that out. The Headley Farm Estate, we got the status report from the developer tonight. Again, we have to work through the Highlands process, they have to figure their situation out with regard to sewer and water. Pertaining to the Highlands Regional Master Plan, again, we have all these conformance tasks that have to be completed. We have to review the municipal infrastructure constraints. As requested by the Highland Center. We have the petition for the Highland Center, which needs to be completed.
The accompanying map. That's another map for it. Something is whacked out.
Yeah.
I think you're up to map six.
Maps.
You have to check.
Yep. And again, there's the required adoption of the Highlands Land Use Ordinance, which I believe is anticipated in 2020. Moving on to the last item or issue, redevelopment. Again, the former municipal building, which we just talked about. We're waiting for further information related to infrastructure. The Beaverbrook Homestead and now the Willows at Annandale has been completed. It's now leasing.
Yes, the site's currently under development. So the site is now fully developed, and it's not anticipated, and they're leasing units.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Leasing. Another redevelopment opportunity listed on page 33 is along Old Allerton Road, basically that triangle between Old Allerton and Route 31.
And the last from the past.
Yeah.
But how far should that triangle extend?
Are you guys leaving that on here?
It's an opportunity.
Okay, I'm just asking.
I think there's infrastructure there, I think.
Okay. Okay. Off the match constant versus privately being rehabbed. I mean, where should that zone end?
I guess you could take...
No bowling alley, for sure.
Well, we note that it's been put into residential use. Right. I mean, you could leave
What's the consequence of leaving it or taking out the project?
Not practically... So
read what Tom wrote about it. He said, while the township continues to acknowledge the redevelopment potential, it does not at this time wish to pursue a formal area in need of redevelopment designation. They will likely encourage investment in the area through more conventional means of zoning and consider development proposals. Blah, 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 blah. I think this is fine. It's encouraging it.
This helps the owners because it says we're willing to do something potentially if you're willing to do something.
Right. Well, it depends if you're the owner. If the owner of a residential unit, a house on McLaughlin Edge now, do you want something right next door? Maybe you can go. I mean, it's a good view of the world.
Right, but I don't, I don't really care what he thinks. Our interest is in his lot, isn't it there?
No, he's saying. Tom says the township does not at this time wish to pursue an area of redevelopment for this whole area. They're saying instead they want to encourage investment by more conventional means of zoning and consider development proposals. So if you have something, come to us, but don't force it on them. Right.
I mean, she's in an OB1 zone, so.
Right. But
none of those lots are developable by themselves, in my opinion. They all have either slope difficulties or stream difficulties. So unless you combine a few of them, and then throw somebody across
the area that's west tax,
that's not going to happen.
It's a tough. Yeah. Well, the Baltimore section suffer.
Tom, can you go to item 4?
Yeah.
Can you read that? Because I don't know anything about this.
Ray Rock Road, there's a block, I guess, just to the west of that sort of Route 31 interchange, west of the
county. No, this is...
Behind this along that road, Tom Yeager's old building.
But it says the planning board previously recommended that the township consider authorizing an area need redevelopment investigation for this area. When was that?
May have been in the prior report.
I think it was in the previous report.
Is that the wrong term?
Maybe actually you like that. That's one of my time.
I know we've been talked about that.
The old Gilder building was run down and was being used.
And that old historic house has just basically it's almost not fixable at this point.
So Tom, make it clear that this it's not the planning board previously recommended in its 2015 reexamination
preliminary investigation
that the township considered blah blah blah. Okay.
Yeah. I can be more specific.
Yeah, okay. Now I get it.
And last but not least we have the Cullman site taking a look at what that could redevelop into. I think there may be some interest. I think it does.
The center goes down. It goes down to the tip. Yeah.
Okay, so the process going forward, Tom, we're going to make revisions based on tonight.
Yes.
Get back to us, and then when should we have comments to you by in order to mesh with the whole getting this done?
We'll put this way. When is the March planning board meeting?
It's the 3rd. Isn't the calendar?
Yes, calendar right here. How do you like that? They're right in front of me. The next meeting is either March 2 or March 16.
Aim for
March 2.
10 days backwards.
10 days backwards.
And a week ahead of that.
Right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Notice would have to be in the paper by Thursday, February 20th, which means, and the final product has to be on file on Thursday, February 20th. She's got to get the notice into the paper by February 17. That's doable. So the question is, tonight's February 3. Weesh. And Tom, you got to get your thing out to these guys Friday the 7th, mm-hmm. and they have to get their comments back to you by Friday the 14th.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. With a nice little love note. Be my Valentine, Tom.
That's the plan.
Yeah. That's the advantage of not having anything else on the agenda. Tonight you guys have been planning. Okay? That's, you know, a lot of times that's your application. This is planning for the township's future.
Should I leave a copy for Dean?
Yes, but mark on this, mark right on here, the schedule that we just set. Okay, so board member, Tom, you're going to get
2-7, urges submit, revised.
Two 14 is the cutoff date for planning board member to email comments to Burgess. Denise, on 2-17, Denise arranges publication of notice of the March 2nd hearing to be published in the Huntington County Democrat on February 20th.
Public hearing
on March 2, to be published in the Huntington County Democrat on Thursday, February 20th. Now, stop for 1 second. You have to have the final plan in by Friday, February 21. Friday, February 21. The final plan has to be in on file with Denise.
With notice, copy of notice. To the county.
Oh, yeah. And you're gonna do right. You're going to send that to the county planning board and to the office of
state
advocacy.
Can we submit? State county with notice.
And then on 3-2, that's the night of the public hearing. And I'm going to take a picture of this, and I'm also going to email it to her.
This is her copy.
I'm going to send it to her and you. Here, take your own picture.
Chicken scratch.
Yeah, take it. Can't read your handwriting. Sorry, it's better than mine.
Yeah, I don't know if it's well there. We can. You know, to me, what comes out of this board of adjustment is really something we asked the ordinance subcommittee to look at. If there's anything that's worthwhile. And then make a recommendation back.
One of the terms they mentioned,
which we just did talk a little bit about.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
This is one of the lightest.
This is one of the lightest ones. And interestingly, I always thought they had been more consistent. That graph is interesting. On the number of resolutions really has dropped off for them. They're seeing what we've been seeing.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. Finally.
But, you know, again, anything on here.
And that people went last year, the same thing.
We sort of said, yeah, maybe it's worth having the ordinance subcommittee. I mean, there's that flat roof solar panel question. Yeah, it seems solvable. They really don't bring up any other points beyond the...
There wasn't a lot this year.
Right.
So there's nothing... I haven't seen the report. Is there anything to address further in the reexamination or...
No. He mentions electric vehicle charging stations to consider on this roof.
And you know why that's on there?
Because that was good of that which is
Harley.
Why...
They were like, this is ridiculous that these people had to go through us to get a charging station.
Crazy.
All right, so
do you need a motion for this?
We don't need a motion or anything on that. That was just a work session, so we were just discussing. So I think we're at the point of...
You can write on here that the board established a schedule to have a public hearing to adopt this on March 2. And then Denise, if she wants to put in the minutes, we write the schedule down for her. I'm texting her a copy right now.
Any reports worth bringing up here, Council?
No. Mm-hmm. We talked about the noise ordinance indirectly with the chicken business. Boy Scouts came by. It was a colorful night just because of that one item. Everything else is routine.
Ordinance subcommittee, nothing on there. Open space. I don't have anything from environmental since last time, so.
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That was a meaty one for a while.
Like I said, this is, you guys did real planning tonight. Go ahead. Thank you.